We covered last week about the Spirit and how the Spirit had different ministries. Okay, the emailer says, just because the church was not called the body of Christ at first does not necessarily mean it did not exist. The key is that both Jew and Gentile are baptized into the body by one Spirit. The Holy Spirit was first given at Pentecost. So we covered how Paul says, by one Spirit we're baptized into one body. That Spirit was given at Pentecost, right? And so then they conclude, people conclude that if the Spirit was given at Pentecost, the Spirit baptizes us into one body, the body must have began at Pentecost. And of course, Aaron and all his decades of seminary training gave us the proper answer. None of us could figure out that the Holy Spirit had different ministries, which is the answer. Just like Jesus Christ came to Israel and taught them the gospel of the circumcision, the gospel of the kingdom, Jesus came to Paul and told him to teach the gospel of the uncircumcision. So the Spirit also has different ministries. 1 Corinthians 12, in that same chapter, says the same Spirit, different administrations. Okay, and so different things that he's doing. The Spirit today is not doing the same thing that he was in the Old Testament as he was in Jesus' earthly ministry. So we covered that all last week. He goes on to say people were in Christ before Paul. Romans 16:7. What was that? Did I hear a collective sigh? No? Maybe it was just my mind. Romans 16, verse 7. People were in Christ before Paul. Of course, he's trying to prove that. They're trying to say the church began before Paul. And we say, well, we are the body of Christ. And they say, well, people were in Christ before Paul. There it is, the nail in your coffin. Romans 16:7 says, salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Paul's writing this. Before Paul, these two people were in Christ. We say it began with Paul and the revelation of the mystery, the dispensation of the grace of God, the information about the church, the body of Christ, began with Paul. And Paul says these people were in Christ before me. Man, that seems like a pretty nice objection. Until you realize that the mystery is not about you and I being in Christ. It's about you and I being in a new creature called the body of Christ. It can be called watermelons. I don't care what it's called. It's a new creature that you're in. Okay, it's called the body of Christ. The fact that there were people in Christ before Paul only testifies that Jesus Christ was before Paul. Is that right? Christ came to Israel before Paul and was preaching to them about the kingdom. And so what do you call these people who are following him, disciples of Jesus Christ? When he says in John 15, I am the tree, I'm the vine, you are the branches, you have to abide in me as a tree, as branches. Well, they would be then in Christ, wouldn't they? And so, of course, people were in Christ before Paul. I quote John 15. 1 John has a passage similar to that. I don't have the reference in front of me. Jared has it right in front of him. 1 John 3 what? He that keeps his commandments dwells in him, and he in him. There it is. How do you get to be in Christ? 1 John 3:24, keep his commandments, right? And so back there in the prophets, it talked about Israel being in the Lord. Being in Christ, walking in the Lord, was not something new. It was not something kept secret. When Christ came and he says, you need to abide in me, they abode in him by their obedience to him. And that was what it meant to be in Christ. So when Paul says that Andronicus and Junia were in Christ before him, Christ came, he taught to be in him, they obeyed him, they were in him. Paul teaches how you can be in Christ as a sinner, justified freely by his grace. And so it's not being in Christ that's the mystery, it's how you get to be in Christ, by God's grace. And not only that, look at Ephesians chapter 1. I know we were comparing three or four different verses here. So this does take some Bible study, right? Morning. Ephesians chapter 1. Whenever someone says to you that Paul, something new couldn't have started with Paul because Paul says there were people in Christ before him, always remember Ephesians 1 verse 10. Okay? Because the purpose of God's will from before the world began was that all things be in him. So we rightly divide the scripture, and we say that there's a heavenly purpose, an earthly purpose. There's a purpose God had for Israel. There's a purpose he has for this new creature called the church, the body of Christ. And people sometimes don't like that division. It's in the scripture, and they want to make all things one. Ephesians 1:10 is a verse that they are looking for but don't know is there. You give it to them and say, look, Ephesians 1, verse 10, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, the things that are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So in the end, in the future, when all these things are done and God sets up his kingdom on the earth, the church is in heaven, and all that's finished or complete, all things are going to be in Christ. That's God's goal, you see. I mean, there's not going to be any more Old Testament laws. There's not going to be any more animal sacrifices in that sense. It's going to be, Revelation 21, things freely given on the earth. Things freely given to the church already in heavenly places. Things freely given in Christ. And that's been God's purpose since the beginning, before the beginning. And so they say, well, people were in Christ before Paul. Well, Ephesians 1:10 says everyone will be in Christ. So it's not a problem that they were in Christ according to prophecy, according to their kingdom program, according to their covenants, and that we're in Christ according to the mystery. You see, that's why Paul uses that phrase, according to the mystery. He preaches Jesus Christ according to the mystery. Same Jesus, taught a different way. So if that's true, then you can be in Christ according to prophecy and according to mystery. So the common objection that Romans 16:7 refutes mid-acts dispensationalism, it falls short. It's not sufficient. It's a good try, though, because if the mystery was being in Christ, then it would defeat the purpose. There's a lot of people who first learn to rightly divide, and they conflate the two. They think being in the body of Christ is the same as being in Christ. And then they fall into hot water. So just be aware of that. Okay? Sometimes we use the term loosely, and we need to be specific in our understanding. Okay? He goes on to say, why would the Holy Spirit wait until the middle of Acts to baptize all into the body of Christ? I'm stumped. Anybody? You got nothing? Why would he wait until the middle of the book of Acts to baptize in the body of Christ?
I think he baptized all into the body of sin.
Yeah. When people ask questions, especially when they're asking questions from a position of ignorance, and unfortunately that's a lot of people, and I don't mean to demean people, I don't mean to sound arrogant, but there's not a lot of people that understand the mid-Acts position. Even people who claim to be rightly dividers, who claim to be mid-Acts, they don't fully understand it. And that's fine. We have study, we have growth. But that means the opposition doesn't even understand it most often. So oftentimes they ask the wrong questions. I think we talked about that a few weeks ago, when they always ask, when did the church begin? Remember that? It's really the wrong question. The right question would be, when did God give the most recent dispensation? When did this dispensation of grace begin? That's the right question. We're under God's instructions according to the dispensation of the grace of God. When did that begin? When did God change what he was doing from working with a nation under a covenant to now he's working to build a church, a body, not under a covenant? When did that happen? When did that change? But people always ask, when did the church begin? And it's a loaded question because they want to use that word church and look up that word church in the Bible and try to find it before Paul. And of course, you can find it all the way back in the Old Testament. So it really doesn't help anybody. But so the question why would the Holy Spirit wait until the middle of Acts to baptize all into the body of Christ? Aaron points out it's the wrong question. Why would he wait until the middle of the book of Acts to baptize all into the body of Christ? Well, that's not what he did in the middle of the book of Acts, baptizing everybody into the body of Christ. Okay, what happened in the middle of the book of Acts, and the reason why we call ourselves mid-Acts, the only reason, and sometimes it's a love-hate relationship. I don't like the term because it gives too much emphasis to the book of Acts. The book of Acts isn't even about you. The book of Acts is about the fall of the nation of Israel. What happens in the middle of the book of Acts that we try to give attention to is Paul's conversion. That's what happens. It's Paul. You see, it's what the Lord Jesus Christ did to Paul, which was saved him by his grace, and gave to him a mission and a message to go to the Gentiles with this message that all can be saved freely without the covenants, without the law. So that's what happened there. The rest of the things in the book of Acts, it's not about you, it's about Israel. Okay, so when Paul's on trial at the end of the book of Acts, and people will say, well, why is Paul saying these things in the book of Acts? The book of Acts is about the fall of Israel. So the reason why he says everything in the book of Acts is because Israel is falling. And he's a lot of times talking to them. In the trial, in the last eight chapters of the book of Acts, he's on trial with unbelieving Israel. Paul versus unbelieving Israel. And so Paul is talking to unbelieving Israel with an unbelieving Gentile judge. And he's condemning unbelieving Israel because they're not following their own scriptures, you see. And so all of his testimony is about the law and the prophets and how they don't follow the law and the prophets and what Paul's teaching is according to the law and the prophets. If you're not careful and you think Acts is about you, you'll be talking like Paul, teaching law and prophets. Say he doesn't teach any mystery there. Right? Well, you're not going to find it in the book of Acts. You're not going to find the mystery in the book of Acts. What you find is the Holy Spirit in Paul. What you find is Jesus Christ saving Paul and Paul going to Israel and them rejecting him as well. Okay? But the point of the mid-Acts, of course, is Paul. Paul wrote 13 epistles in your Bible in which he explains the gospel and the dispensation God gave to him. Okay? So the question again, why would the Holy Spirit wait until the middle of the book of Acts? It's not that he was waiting as Luke was penning the book, you know. He's halfway done, you know. It does talk about there's time happening here, you know. And there are things that are happening in which God interrupts what he was doing with Israel. Right? So it really raises the better question, which is not why did he baptize all into the body of Christ in mid-Acts. It's why did Christ reveal the mystery when he did? Why did God dispense grace when he did? Okay, and that's a reasonable question, and it has an answer. Anybody have any thoughts on that? Why did God say, I'm going to dispense this stuff to Paul right now. I'm going to save him and start this thing.
Was it random? Was he to throw his hands up in the air? That's it. I don't know what else to do. I'll just do this.
He had to include all in unbelief.
Yeah. He had to include all in unbelief. 1 Corinthians 2, Paul talks about events that had to happen.
You know this verse, we've read it 100 times. But when Christ returned and revealed to Paul the mystery, returned and saved Paul by his grace, it was not a random act. It was not some sort of one of a million instances of God's intervention into the world. It was a special intervention. Okay, it was what the theologians call special revelation. Okay, just like God ordained Moses would be the redeemer of Israel back there in the Old Testament, or he anointed David as the king of Israel and gave him sure mercies. Okay, the men in themselves were just men; they're sinners like you. But God appointed them a position, just like Paul. Okay, Jesus Christ appointed him a chosen vessel, is what he says, to go to the Israel Gentiles and all the kings of Israel or the earth. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world. So there's a time element. He ordained it before the world. But verse 8 says, none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. God could not have revealed the mystery before Christ died, because it would have foiled his plan. God had to keep it secret for a purpose, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 8 says. Okay, so it's important to realize the time element there and the reason why, at least before the cross, that you couldn't have known it. Right? But that's at the cross. That's not Paul. Right? But what else is needed for this church, the body of Christ, to be built? Well, you need the Holy Spirit. Right? When does that get poured out? Pentecost. So the mystery couldn't have been revealed before Pentecost. The church couldn't have been being built before Pentecost. So the Holy Spirit's poured out Pentecost, right? But just because the Holy Spirit's poured out, as we mentioned before, doesn't mean the church is there. The Holy Spirit was promised, as Jesus said, according to prophecy. Joel chapter 2 promised the Holy Spirit would be poured out upon all, you know, women and daughters and men and that sort of thing. In Joel chapter 2. And so just because the Spirit's there doesn't mean it's a mystery. But you need those elements. You need Jesus manifest in the flesh. You need his death. You need his resurrection. You need the Spirit. And then what do you need? You need Israel's fall. Because the Spirit's given to believing Israel. And they're hoping to go into that kingdom. You can't have a church in which there's no Jew or no Gentile when Israel is a standing with God. That would be God lying to Israel, you see. And so what happens is Israel rejects that Holy Spirit. And that's what we see, and that's what the book of Acts is about. Israel's rejection of the acts of the Holy Spirit-filled apostles. By the end of the book, what's the last chapter of the book of Acts to talk about? The Jews in Rome. And Paul says, that's it, I'm done. Salvation's going to the Gentiles. That's the last chapter. Acts is not the story of the beginning of the church. It's the story of the end of Israel, of the fall of Israel. Okay? If that was the last thing we read about Israel, you'd think they weren't coming back, except for Romans chapter 11, where Paul himself says they are. You know. But the point of the book of Acts is that they're falling, that they've rejected the Spirit. So you've got to have those elements of Christ in the flesh, his death on the cross, resurrection, the Spirit, and then Israel's fall. And when Israel falls, Romans 11:32 says, he counted all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon all. Now that Israel rejects God's provision, okay, they're no different than Gentiles. Paul argues this point in Romans chapter 2 and other places in his epistles. They're no different, okay? Because God's giving them these provisions, they're not able to keep the commandments, and they're rejecting it anyway. And so just like the Gentile nations that rejected God in history, Israel is now joined to them in rejection of God. And so if God is going to, get this, if God is going to save Israel to fulfill his kingdom purpose on the earth, how is he going to do it? How must he do it? He's given Jesus the Messiah, he's given the New Testament, he's given the Holy Spirit, and they still reject it. How will then God fulfill his purpose with Israel? It can only be by grace. I mean, he's going to come back with judgment, yeah, to clear out the bad branches. But the only way he can do it is by grace, you see. He's given him these provisions, and they continually reject him. The only way they're going to receive it is by grace. And at this point, if he's giving Israel grace, why doesn't he give Gentiles grace? You see, that's the process. And so he reveals to Paul and says, you know what, Israel rejected me, I've got to give them grace anyway. And this was my purpose the whole time, to give grace to all. And he reveals that to Paul. So you see, it's so amazing in God's wisdom how he, through history, has developed this purpose through Israel and the nation to be a nation that would bless the world. And because of their rejection and their sin and their constant disobedience, Christ used that, God used that, to bring salvation to the world. Not their sins, it was Jesus Christ, right? But they put him on that cross. You know, they broke the law, teaching us all that there's none righteous, no, not one. Right? The law, there's no one righteous by the law. And so it was at the right time that the mystery was revealed to Paul, that the dispensation was given to Paul about God's grace. It was at the exact right time. It was before God's wrath was poured out. You can't have God's wrath being poured out at the same time God dispenses his grace. That's contradictory. Okay? And so what you have now is not God pouring out his wrath. You have God pouring out his grace before the kingdom and yet after Israel fell. Okay? What should have happened in prophecy is after Israel fell, as Aaron pointed out, wrath comes, then the kingdom comes. Right? If the mystery had not been there, and I need to draw something here because I'm talking with a chart in my mind. I hope you have a chart in your mind as well as you talk about the Bible. But you've got the cross here, and you've got the Holy Spirit come down at Pentecost, and they're preaching and anticipating to go into this kingdom. Peter preaches that. They're preaching the gospel of the kingdom, the good news, the kingdom is coming, the kingdom is at hand. And with this Holy Spirit, Peter now preaches that the king that they killed is resurrected, so the kingdom is still on, right? And he says these are the last days. And he warns them of the trouble that's going to come. He says there's going to be tribulation, just like Jesus said, that they would have to go through to get into that kingdom. But the time is here. You know, we've got tribulation, we're going to have signs in the heavens, and you know, all this wrath. You better get on the right side of the coin, or else, you know, God's going to kill you here, and you go into the kingdom. Okay, this is what's going on in Acts 2, right? The early book of Acts. Of course, what happens is Israel rejects this message. Okay? And so how is he going to get Israel to this point where they are the nation on a hill, right? How does God get them there? I mean, they're rejecting everything. Even the Holy Spirit, they're rejecting it. How does he get them there? You know, how does Peter know? Peter lied about knowing Jesus three times. Yeah. How did these disciples, I mean, they were prostitutes. They were sinners. They were in Israel the filthiest. They were the wild branches in Israel, right? In Israel, you had the pruned branches, which are these people who, they're in the temple, they're studying the law, they should have known better. And you got people who, you know, they just didn't know any better, right? They're wild branches in Israel. Okay, and they're the ones following Jesus. Those are the disciples, the fishermen, the tax collectors. And so Israel rejects them. How is he going to bring this kingdom? Without any of the high priests, without any of those rulers in Israel, with a bunch of fishermen and tax collectors? And how did they get it? Remember Luke 18, when Jesus is telling the story there of the Pharisee and the politician, the publican? The Pharisee says, thank God I'm not like that guy, right? And the publican says, God, I'm a sinner, be merciful to me, a sinner, right? And that's what the Baptists call the sinner's prayer. Be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said what? Well, that guy's justified. The sinner who cried out for mercy. Because he gets it that the only way, at this point, the only way Israel's going to get what God promised them, is God's obligation to give it to them, was by God's mercy. There was no way they're going to get it by being better than the rest. Okay? And what do you call it? That's called grace. Okay? Israel rejects this message of the Spirit-filled apostles, and before God pours out his tribulation, he says, well, I've got to give grace to Israel. I've got to give grace to them. Why? Because Israel has rejected everything. They're fallen. Right? And if they're fallen, they're on the same level as Gentiles, needing God's grace, sinners that need grace. And so then he reveals to Paul at this point right here how salvation can be given to all freely by grace. Okay, without Israel, without the kingdom, without the law, right? Which was, we learned, God's purpose the whole time before the world began, right? So this kingdom is just icing on the cake of grace, so to speak. So anyway, it's a good thing to consider why God revealed it when he did. See, so it's not just a random list of stories, a list of events. It's the person asked here, why did he wait until the middle of the book of Acts? Because he had to. God could not start a new thing until Israel gave up what he was offering them. If Israel had obeyed Christ, and the apostles and their ministry succeeded, if Peter's ministry succeeded, they should have gone to the kingdom, folks. Peter's ministry failed. And this is the misinterpretation of the church. This is the difference between mid-Acts and Acts 2 dispensationalism for 2,000 years, is that Acts 2 says Peter's ministry succeeded. That's why we have the church today. Right? That was the birthday. His ministry succeeded. That's why we have the church. Okay? The next understands, no, his ministry failed. Because his ministry was not Paul's ministry. Okay? Peter's ministry was last days, kingdom come. They rejected him. You know, it was Paul's message that starts what's happening today. And you can determine whether it's succeeding or failing. But